Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
So, Lawrence, I thought that when all the second round draft picks signed, that meant that we were done worrying about the second round draft picks being at camp, showing up, etc. We got Ozzie Trapillo now battling with Braxton Jones and splitting reps at left tackle.
And we'll find out a little bit more about that from Ryan Poles on the Hogan Johns podcast, like how that whole thing's going to go.
We got Shamar Turner there and working with Dennis Allen as they're just kind of getting rolling. But there's no Luther Burden. And that is a surprise to have no Luther Burden. By the way, we're going to talk to Matt Walsh at some point very soon here, maybe a little bit later in the hour. But like, we got Luther Burden concerns, it seems.
Yeah, it would seem that way. And I look, you know me, the reporter brain goes off a lot. And sometimes it is filled with a lot of skepticism on things. So,
and oftentimes I am a guy who pushes back and we get into this thing where we're trying to figure out what's actually a concern and what's not. So paint me a picture here, though.
So here's where my mind went with the Luther Burden stuff, that was one of those things that, like, towards the end of the OTAs and everything, that people are like, oh, he'll be fine for camp. And he might still be fine for camp. It is a little surprising that he is not available. So to me, with a new administration in town, I want to try and figure out how honest they are about things like this. So when I see the Burden stuff, I immediately start thinking, if Burden isn't available fairly quickly into camp, can I then trust them when it comes to them breaking down Jalen Johnson and how quickly he might return to camp? Or is this an administration that's just going to go, we will tell them what we want to tell them, and our guys will be ready when they're ready?
Okay, so you're trying to, I get that, journalistically. This is why we fit, because I can use that kind of perspective on it.
Yeah, well, we can run this past Matt Walsh.
Oh my God, there's so many things we can run past Matt Walsh. But first, we can hear what Chris Tannehill has prepared for Matt Walsh.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest tonight is a very funny man who stars in one of my favorite shows of all time, Veep.
POTUS is so excited about this new narrative.
I engineered Selena crying on camera. I'm the puppet master. I'm Pinocchio.
Pinocchio wasn't the puppet master, Mike. He was the puppet.
Yeah, he was.
Five-year-olds get that.
Please welcome Matt Walsh. Here I go again on
my own. I heard you guys are starting up a fraternity. I want in.
Listen to me. There is no fraternity. I don't even know what you're talking about. You listen to me. I need this, okay? My wife, my job, my kids, every day is exactly the same. Oh, I go golfing on Sundays. I hate golf.
Whack it up. Whack it, Hales.
Beautiful day.
Yeah, it is. It's really nice.
Guys, you're killing us here, seriously.
Let's get the ladies moving.
Listen, just give me a second.
Rate of play, rate of play, rate of play, rate of play, rate of play.
Haley, you know what? Why don't we just pick it up and move down the fairway?
Your blood work came in this morning. They found a large amount of Rufalin in your system. I'm not surprised you don't remember anything.
Doc, none of us could remember anything from last night. Remember?
Is there anything else, like something we may have been talking about or some place we were going?
You kept talking about some wedding that you just came from at the Best Little Chapel. You guys kept saying how sick the wedding was and getting all crazy about it.
Best Little Chapel, you know where that is?
I do. It's at the corner of Get a Map and F*** Off.
Jackie Moon finally making a move, and it is worth the wait.
On it low. Woo!
Traveling.
No. 1.5 steps.
Come on, Jackie. You walk.
I'll murder your family.
You're gone, what? Jackie Moon.
What? Jackie Moon is ejected from the game.
What did I say?
You said S my C.
I didn't say anything.
You said S my C.
I barely raised my voice.
I should call your mother.
You need a phone to heaven to do that.
Maybe your mom didn't go to heaven.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. Oh, no.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
This is a real treat. Chicago's very own Matt Walsh now joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes show on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you jumping on with us.
Hello, Matt.
Uh-oh. Cylon's got him.
They got him.
It happens, man.
It does, right?
The intro
was good, though.
The intro is always good.
Oh, my God. It was killer.
You know what? All right. So I have a new idea for the intros.
Okay.
We should establish.
Stop doing them.
No.
I agree. All right.
Wow. Danny just had a conversation with himself. Establish that we can hear.
Wait, is that what I sound like?
No, I think it was himself. He was just seconding his own motion. So he was doing Alex.
Here's what I think we should do. I think that what we should do is we should make sure that we can establish with the guest when they're on, like hear their voice and be like, hey, Matt, man, our guy Chris Tannehill is a huge fan of yours and we want to make sure we introduce you right. Boom, hit the intro and then come back out and do the interview.
No, that's fair. That's a good idea. But we haven't had these kind of problems very often. You know, we're going to redo everything and redo the whole system. Actually.
Why not change things up?
Mm-hmm.
We can be someone that kind of changes the way that radio has been done for forever.
Oh, man. Some good memories of when guests weren't there. Guys in the Twitch mob remembering when I was talking to Bilal Nichols and just asked a question, and then Bilal just wasn't there at the end of the question. And I kept talking. Bilal, you there? All right, man.
And he was not.
He was not there. He'd been pulled away by Bears PR staff. I mean, we've all had those moments when suddenly human beings are not accessible. So it goes.
Playing the game since she was a child to have fun.
Yeah, well, you've been doing it so well and playing so well and being in a good headspace and a pleasure to watch. No doubt that's going to continue, Bilal Nichols. When you do sign that deal, where's the celebration dinner?
Oh boy.
If I told you downtown Chicago, money is no object and you can go have a meal at a restaurant for you and all your family and all your friends, where are you going? What's your place?
Living it.
Bilal, you there? All right, man.
Wait, did you just give a retroactive shout out to Wildfire?
No, that was me off to the side here.
Oh, my bad.
But I think it's when I go, all right, man. He's clearly not there. There's nobody there. I am alone in a studio talking to no one and nothing. But I couldn't help it. All right, man.
All I imagine is like Ocean's 11, where Brad Pitt puts the phone down. And Andy Garcia is going through his whole thing of run and hide. That's all that I ask. And then he's looking at his phone like, wait, is that guy even still there?
He's still going?
Nope.
You ever do that to people?
No.
Never do that to anybody? Got nobody in your life you do that to?
That I just put the phone down?
Yeah. Like I got one relative who I know is just going to keep yammering away no matter what role I play in the conversation. So once I pay my transaction of the phone call, every once in a while I will just pop that bitch on, not the person, the phone I meant. Pop that thing.
Someone got fired for that.
Yeah, did they? Pop that thing on speaker and just kind of walk around and live my life. You know,
I mean, now that you mention it,
right? You do that.
I have done that where I've been like, oh, I got other stuff that I need to get done, and I know that the conversation with this person is, and it's, you know, you, it's delightful. Like, but you know that you have to get other stuff done. You just can't sit and be in the conversation.
Yes, yes.
Like, I gotta go get the groceries out of the car, like stuff like that.
Our lives have to be efficient. Absolutely, we got things we got to do. So, yeah, I am guilty of that every once in a while.
I feel bad.
You feel bad a lot, though. It's kind of your thing.
I feel bad about this? Because like, I'm really looking forward to talking with Matt Walsh.
I know, but it happens. Things happen in the world.
It's technological. I swear. There.
Maybe it's the skies that have just gone dark, dark gray around us. I mean, look at that.
Is Galactus coming early?
This is when Ruben's at camp this summer, and he's like, Dad, the weather changed like 3 times today. He said that like 2 or 3 different times over the past couple weeks because he's just outside all day and seeing it change like that. It feels unique to us. I don't know if it is or not, but it feels like a Chicago thing.
It is partly a Chicago thing, the running gag of if you hate the weather in Chicago, just wait 5 minutes, it'll change, like that sort of thing. But I have been in other places where that happens. Obviously, I spent a lot of time in Arizona, and storms can pop up on you, and you're like, wait, what just happened? And then it's just gone. Miami is notorious for you're walking along and everything's fine. And then there's a 10-minute thunderstorm that ends up happening. And then it's over and you're back to the beach or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but this has been a weird summer for us. And when you add in all the stuff about the corn sweat and that adding a level of humidity to our air over the last few days, it's been impressive.
I had 2 ears of corn on my own the other night.
So you're to blame.
Well, no, but I'm just like I could probably.
You were getting corn sweats?
I made some meatloaf. Mom, get the meatloaf. Yeah, cook the meatloaf.
I don't think Matt Walsh is in that movie.
No, I guess he's not.
He might be.
He probably is.
Yeah, somewhere in the background.
He's not in this radio show.
No, it's okay.
It's fine. Totally fine.
I just feel bad for him.
Oh, like he's going to be fine. That thing's going to be great tonight. The Bear Down podcast is going to be taking place tonight. I'm going to see maybe about getting over there. But yeah, that thing is going to be awesome at the Candlelight Chicago, inside the IO Theater. That's in Lincoln Park. That's going to be an awesome event.
Matt, thanks for joining us. We're really sorry about the technical issues here, man. Because, look, we know how much you want to talk about the Bears, and we want to talk about your career. But I'm glad that you're on the phone, and we thank you very much for hanging in there with us.
Thank you for having me. And turns out all those layoffs at the Score IT department didn't pay off.
They really didn't.
They really didn't.
No. You just got a lot more real than you bargained for.
If you knew how true of a statement,
oh my God,
you just made.
We are going in the emotional tank for the rest of the interview. You've absolutely buried us. Whatever, man. Walsh knew stuff, and he led with that.
Fellas.
Yeah.
We like that you keeps it real, Matt. Before we talk about your career, I'd love to know, like, as someone who grew up here, and when's the moment when you fall in love with the Bears?
You know, I have great memories of my father. I'm one of like seven kids, so I had some one-on-one time with my dad. He would get tickets, and we went to this bar, you know, the classic bus that picked you up at his bar, and we went downtown, and we sat behind these drunken firemen in the south end zone for 3 or 4 years during the Abe Gibran era and Jack Pardee, perhaps, that era. And I just have the best memories. These guys in front of us were hilarious and super drunk. They were passing a thermos around of probably Everclear, but they were so sweet. And there was always like singing on the bus on the way home. And I just remember that was like really good bonding times and really cold, but really fun.
That's really awesome.
Fun. I was like 9 or 10 probably.
Did your dad bring sandwiches? I sat out there once and people like brought sandwiches, and I guess they did every week.
You know, I think there was like, it was the all-inclusive South Side. You get the buffet at the bar and the bus ticket. And then I think, unfortunately, they offered some of the guys all you can drink. So they would get on the bus. Yeah. They would probably have flasks, would be my guess. But my dad didn't bring sandwiches. But we would kind of load up at this buffet beforehand and probably get something afterwards. Yeah.
And Matt, is this the year that happiness ensues? Because we thought the last year was the year that happiness would ensue. And that did not take place. It ended up being, I don't know, one of the ugliest Bears seasons of all time, perhaps one of the most embarrassing of the multiple national embarrassments we've been through in recent years. So yeah. Does that change now?
Yeah, that's a fair point. I think the closeness and a couple of the clownish endings were heartbreaking, right? That's what hurts more than anything. Underperforming always hurts, but this year, I mean, my happiness would be solid defense, and I'd love to see like tons of points. I'd love to see like the era when like Jay Cutler and Alshon Jeffrey were lighting it up, like that kind of offense, you know?
Yeah, it's funny too, because we had a reminder yesterday, like the Tribune did a whole thing of guys bringing all of their stuff to training camp, and one of the pictures was a very unhappy Jay Cutler showing up to the training camp back in 2009, and just the look on his face is hilarious, and it's like, wow, now it just really is emblematic of that entire era of football with Jay. It's I hope that there is happiness for everyone. You're a little older than I am. I was 10 when the Bears won it. Okay, so I'm a kid growing up in Roseland when the Bears won it. And I remember that Sunday and how great it was and everything else. Since you're a little older, I'm wondering, did you think, oh, this is just the beginning of what we're getting ready to do to this league? We're going to be back here every single year.
Yeah, I mean, we were stacked. Yeah, I was down at the next year's playoff game, and I think we lost to Doug Flutie and the Redskins. Or not, yeah. Not Doug. We had Doug Flutie. I forget who their quarterback was. But that was like the era of like we were so stacked and everything seemed to be in place. And it just quite didn't work out, did it?
No, not quite. IO Fest 2025 is happening. And there's all kinds of stuff that's happening as a part of it, including the Bear Down podcast, which is tonight over at Candlelight Chicago. So it's you, it's Scott Armstrong, who wrote Old School, right?
He wrote Old School, he wrote Semi-Pro, he wrote one of the Hangovers, he wrote Road Trip. He wrote a bunch of funny classic movies for our generation, if you will.
Unbelievable. And then Brad Morris, your pal, who's been on this show once as himself, once not as himself.
Really?
And you know, like this is a big pile of funny humans, and you got together to talk Bears. And is that still the backdrop? How much Bears are we getting tonight?
We're going to get a lot of Bears. We have a lot of characters. We used to do a podcast. We stopped about 10 years ago called Bear Down Podcast. And so this is sort of a reunion of that crew. And we're going to have the oldest living honey bear on, our friend Claudia Wallace, is going to play her. I think we're going to have Mikhail Prokhorov, Russian billionaire. We might have the Pope. There's rumors the Pope might come to the show. We have Fireman Pete, King of the South End Zone, who sabotages the Packers whenever he gets a chance. I might be in a blimp circling the field. We don't know. But so that's kind of the taste of what's going to happen tonight. And we also have some traveling items from the Bears Hall of Fame Museum that are on loan. So we're going to have a guy with white gloves guarding them, like the Stanley Cup guy. And we might have one of Mike Ditka's old hats. So we're pretty excited.
So Matt, Spees and I know a bunch of people that, you know, work in Hollywood but have come from Chicago.
We know a lot of very famous people, Matt, is what Lawrence is trying to say.
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that...
I was trying to say that. Matt, okay. We're very well connected. If you need anything, you talk to us after the segment.
Well, now we know Matt, but I am curious about this. Chicagoans are very provincial, and we are very loud about our teams, and the Bears being the team that we're probably the loudest about. I'd love to know from your travels in Hollywood circles, are you running into other Bears fans, and do you guys commiserate about that? And have you made any converts? Are there people that have had to listen to you complain and bitch about the Bears so much that they now join you in your misery?
I hope not. I hope I haven't brought anyone into my misery. That's a friend. But people, you know, when we had the podcast, we had people like Ike Barinholtz is a big Bears fan, and Ron Livingston would come around and do bits, and Jake Johnson, another Chicago dude. Weirdly, Sam Levine, who I think is from New York, is a fan. So we have a lot of, like, a gathering of, like, comedians who do, in fact, care about the Bears. I wish I could think of someone. You know what's tragic is my children aren't even hardcore Bear fans. I don't even know what's happening. I don't know if I scared them away by, like, telling them to be quiet during the game or something, but, like, they have not adopted my passion. And that's, if I died without one Bear fan of my three children, I may have failed as a father.
Are they football fans or sports fans? Or no?
You know, my oldest son is probably not a true sports fan. He would go to a live event. He would go to a game with me if there's like seats in the stadium and some catering. And then my middle guy is, unfortunately, a Laker fan.
Oh, boy. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's got to be blasphemy to you.
That's tough.
I support his passion, but I'm not crazy about that, fandom, if you will. But I like LeBron, so hey, whatever. And they're fun to watch if you can get a ticket. But so there's that. And then my daughter, she kind of plays soccer and volleyball, and I don't know. She might be the sleeper, because she likes when you make jokes about the classic bad teams like the Browns or the Jets or the Bills. And I'm like, no, you can't make a Bills joke right now because they're on a run. Like, they're solid. You can still make Browns jokes, and the Jets, that's an eternal comedy joke. So she likes comedy when you smack talk the bad teams. So I think she might be the sleeper Bears fan now that I'm talking. This is like therapy.
Good.
I'm talking it out loud.
Yeah. No,
I haven't failed. I haven't failed.
Nice. Right. You didn't raise a Packers fan because that was on the table.
Oh, my God. My father-in-law is a Packers fan, and we had a floating bet. It was like a check we would send back and forth for like 15 years. And after a while, they just won every time I stopped.
Oh, they killed.
That's a great question for you sports experts. In the last 20 years, how many times have we beat the Packers? Or maybe somebody in research. Do we still have a research department?
Yes. Alex, you get on that. Mr. Walsh has needs.
Well, but we do know it's simple math that they had run up 11 in a row.
Yeah,
so
man.
5.5 years of the Bears not winning until Caleb and the boys won at Lambeau last year.
Yeah, no, it's completely unfair, and it's wrong. Here's what I think, though. We've been waiting for the quarterback savior all along. I think it's the coach savior. I think it's the coach who's going to be a badass and run the entire thing like Ditka. Finally, we got the Godhead coach. That's the savior. That's what's going to do it, is this dude, this Ben dude. I'm convinced.
I love hearing that. And I also think, obviously, Ditka was great, but he seemed like the kind of guy who would burn bridges. You know what I mean? It's my way or the highway.
Oh, yeah.
He did.
These guys are adults.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these guys are adults. And like, dude, I'm a pro. You don't have to yell at me anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit.
There's some of that that's going on. Matt Walsh is our guest. The legendary Bear Down podcast returns for the first time in over a decade tonight at Candlelight Theater as part of IO Fest. Got to ask you about something I see you in every year. And like every time Elf is on in perpetuity on TNT, I believe, or actually last year, me and the wife went to go see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra play the soundtrack of it while we watched. It was so cool. Cause it's
fun.
Oh man, it was great. And there you are as the man on the street being interviewed by Charlotte, the news lady at the end. Here's a little taste of that.
I'm here with another eyewitness who has his own version of what happened. Sir, what did you see?
I think you're great, Charlotte. I saw something fall from the sky right in the middle of Central Park. I mean, you're a great news lady.
Thank you. Could you tell me a bit more about what you saw fall from the sky?
Yeah. Your eyes tell the story. That's what I love about you. You got a great mouth. The thing just dropped in the middle of Central Park.
That is so wonderfully uncomfortable in like the cleanest, most beloved, like simple, earnest thing. And then you are just filthy with a smile. How did you get away with that?
That was loosely improvised. John Favreau, who directed that, told me to kind of hit on her. And I had a few things I knew I wanted to say, and I might have pitched him a couple things. He's like, yeah, just try that. And I don't believe on some of the takes she knew what was coming at her. So some of that startled reaction, she was great, that woman. She's a great actor. But I think it was, like, surprising her, like, a little bit. So that was really fun to do. And that was, in the middle of New York City, Central Park. It was so fun to, like, shoot a movie at Christmas, and they shut it down, and we got the park to ourselves, and it's late at night. It was really special.
When it came to Veep, you're kind of stuck between having great words on paper and having a cast full of people that are great at improv. How much did you guys play around with what was written?
We played around in rehearsal, truthfully. Like, we would workshop things, and the writers would be in the room for the first 4 years when we were in Baltimore, and they would crib notes and go, oh, that's good. Or there would be a problematic scene in the script, and Armando, the creator director, would be like, let's just put the scripts down and sort of fumble through a better version. And so Julia and
would lead, and you know, we would all jump in and workshop things. And the big thing about that is we kind of trusted each other to sort of fail and not try to be too funny, which can be the death when you're trying to figure something out. And that was great. It was like a safe playground. And then later years, we owned the characters. And when we were in Los Angeles, there was less and less. But when we got to set, it was pretty tightly written. And we could maybe get a free take where you could kind of goof around, or you could always pitch ideas. But it was very well written by the time we got the cameras up and running.
Matt Walsh, this is a pleasure, man. Thanks for slogging your way through the tech issues. And it's going to be great, this thing tonight, man. I know it's going to be great. I heard Jerry Reinsdorf might also make an appearance.
That's right. Thank you. Yes. Jerry Reinsdorf might be launching his own Jerry Reinsdorf Museum with 90 partners, by the 90 financial partners.
Can't do that kind of thing alone. No way.
No, you need partners.
Yeah, you do.
Matt, thanks so much for the time. We really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, guys. I'll come back. Enjoy you guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you very much. It's very nice of you to say. That is Matt Walsh. He's great.
Oh, God. That show's got to be funny. And he's great and been in a million things and keeps working, man. You see him in all kinds of stuff.
He hit us where we live, though, at the beginning.
Right away.
He has no idea.
He has no idea how seriously we took that.
And how right he was.
And how we had to fight through the emotions in order to even just be present.
And it was so perfect because engineering did come in right
they
after
did.
That.
Yeah,
okay, cool. They're here to work on our tech issues with the Zoom. And they're like, oh, no, we're just going to redo your layout of everything you guys are used to here sometime next week. So we're going to run by you first.
they came in, they took care of stuff, and on the way out, sadly, one of them was laid off.
All right, we need to take a break. There's some stuff with Ryan Poles that we need to get through. We're going to get ourselves back on time, and we'll get to it next on The Score.
I think there's just true belief. You can have excitement and all that, but when you have belief that goes from, you know, throughout your entire organization, from George all the way down the organization, that's when I think it feels different.
It's Ryan Poles on the Hoag and John's podcast talking about the belief that's in the entire organization. He didn't take questions on day one. Then said, I'll be around. He's now done the team-sponsored media and now the Hogan Johns podcast.
Which he does every year. Like, since he's been GM, the Hogan Johns podcast has had him on. They do a great job. And they've had Ryan Pace on, too, when he was here. So, shout out to those guys. Congratulations on what they've built and what it's become. Like, I'm really proud of both of those guys because entrepreneurial journalism and broadcasting is not easy, and what they've built is extraordinary. So shout out to the boys.
I'm reminded of what my guitar player always says when like another good guitar player is mentioned, and it's like it might be like a rival. He always goes, oh, is he still drinking? Just
that's messed up. That's messed up.
Everybody knows he's joking. We all know that.
We all know that he's joking.
So if I ever say, oh, they still drinking? I just know that I'm only kidding. And I wish nothing but success for them, like all the things Lauren said.
What does Steen
call
it? All
the good things.
Joking on the square.
Kidding on the square, baby.
All right. So here's something that's important for you, the Bears fan.
Okay.
Poles was asked by the boys on Caleb being coached harder and why he likes it.
Ben's addressed that. He wants to be coached hard. I think that's something he's been used to. He wants the directness, no gray. It's either right or it's wrong. And then what do I need to do to improve and get better? And he's responded really well. The work ethic has been outstanding. His communication has been really good too. So seeing those two grow together has been really good.
How are you tracking his 70% completion percentage? What drills are you leaving out?
Yeah, you always tend to go to the team periods, but obviously every rep matters. So the 7-on-7s are really important too. I think any ball that, you know, leaves your hand is if you have if you're being intentional with your throws, you should be looking for a completion. So we track everything here and monitor that and keep communicating with our guys to make sure that we're hitting different benchmarks and keep pushing the envelope. I love the big goals because if you're shooting for those, if you fall anywhere near that, you're going to be in good shape.
Did you have coaches that were like that in just in terms of like the immediateness of it? Like you're messing up. I know maybe offensive line coaches are a bit different than play callers, but to see the play caller actually do it. To me, and Adam, we've since 2012 we've been covering this team. We mm-hmm. haven't seen anything like that. To see the play caller, the head coach in those moments will remove his starters from the field to yell at his quarterback. Like, do you have any history with quarterbacks or coaches like that?
Yeah, I'd have to go back to college when I was with Matt Ryan. You can call him up and tell him about his college experience and what he went through, and it made us all better. Because again, you knew exactly what the expectations were. So if you were rated, if you were made of the right stuff, you understood that you had to be prepared when you walked onto the field or into a meeting room and have your stuff together. So I think it's a real positive thing. And again, the passion and the level of care that he has to get this football team where it needs to be is right where it needs to be, to be honest.
So you're saying Matt Ryan had that fire, or the coaching, the way he was coached is very similar?
Oh, the way he was coached. Yeah.
Got it.
So that'd be Tom O'Brien as the head coach for Matt Ryan's sophomore
there.
And junior years. And then Jeff Jagodzinski, the head coach for Matt Ryan's senior year when they went 11-3. And he threw for 4,500 yards and finished seventh in the Heisman. Interesting.
The part where Poles talks about being intentional with the throws, I understand it, I like it, and I respect it. I want to offer something up because you and I have talked about this since last football season, Spiegs. Is it okay? One of the follow-ups that I would have for Ryan, is it okay in those moments for Caleb to take a shot at something? Like, is it okay? And it's probably a better question for Ben.
Yep.
Is it okay for him to be like, I wanted to see if I could hit that. Like, I wanted to see if I could hit that backside dig.
In terms of practice, you're talking about?
Is it okay for him to take a couple of those
good question
per day?
It ought to be.
So that in a game, he doesn't feel like I can't take a chance. Because I think that's the one criticism that's very fair with Caleb, is that when you look at the touchdown interception ratio,
yeah,
it's great. But were there touchdowns left off the board because he was afraid to throw interceptions?
Right. And it's practice is when you're supposed to do that stuff, in my opinion. So I'd love to get Ben's thoughts on that. We'll talk to Jason Leisure later. We'll talk to Mark Grody at 5 o'clock, and he'll have some sound. Cause like, I know that Caleb struggled with some of the deep balls. And like, when you see like, oh, Caleb's struggling in practice, maybe some of those deep balls is him trying to take that chance to see if it's there, and he's learning something from it. And that matters more than whether he completes it or not.
I don't know. And I don't know how Ben feels about that. He might feel completely different. There's more from Ryan Poles that we need to discuss, including the left tackle battle and a book recommendation that he got. We'll share with you next. It's Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Listen to the Spiegel and Holmes show on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
That was kind of like a freak deal. Jalen works hard. He's always come in shape. So, and we get the numbers of the guys, you know, in terms of the body fat and weight and lean mass when they report. And his was right on track. Like, he'd been working hard like he always does. So he was training, just kind of had a freak deal. So we're kind of taking that kind of 1 week at a time as he heals up.
Ryan Poles on the Hogue and Johns podcast, talking about Jalen Johnson, taking it 1 week at a time, week to week. Gonna miss a few weeks. We'll see if a few means three or if a few means six.
Yeah, six will...
That'll ring some bells for you.
Ding! I think after, let's see, if he's...
Joint practices?
If he misses some of those joint practices, that'd be a bummer, you know? When's the first joint practice?
August 8th?
How much practice do they really need to roll those, you know? I mean, because a lot of times these days...
To get it right.
Yeah. I mean, you can just get them already taken care of.
That deserved a rim shot, but that's okay.
Chuck knows what I'm talking about. That's all I'm saying.
Are you saying that because he's Canadian?
Yes. That's exactly it. Nailed that.
Is that why?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm not intimating that I've gotten high with Chuck, because I have not.
I hung out with Chuck at Summer League, and it was a delight.
You did?
We had such a good time.
That's cool.
Yeah, August 8th is a joint practice, and August 15th. So the Fridays before the games with the Dolphins and the
Got
Bulls.
It. Alex is laughing because he's going to hear joint practice differently from now on. That's what's happening.
He already hears it that way.
Yep, definitely already heard it differently.
He's laughing at the idea of practicing.
Smoke weed every day.
Like, how good? If you're not good at it,
then just stop doing it.
No, if you're not good at it, you want to practice it so you get it right.
I was never
puff,
good
puff,
at
give,
it.
By the way.
I was
puff give.
I was never good at it. Never. Like, they had those little machines. You ever see the little machines? You put the rolling paper in, and then you close it, and it just pops out the top like it's done already? It's amazing.
I've never smoked, by the way.
Joint machine.
I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right, good for you.
Yeah. I've heard the cones are easier.
Yeah? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So. Yeah, it's been more than a year for me. How about that?
All right.
Want to hang out? Hang out and not smoke later? What are you doing?
I'll get the Blackmobile. We'll hang out.
Finally! I got the invite. Do you hear that?
You had the invite.
Didn't sound like it in previous weeks.
No, Speaks, I said I'll drive it in and then I'll take you home.
You got it here?
No, not today.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
See, no, we have to set that up. Ordinarily, I take the other one.
Lawrence is threatening to give me a ride in the Blackmobile. Okay, anyway, we got it. We got hot tape to get to. Let's roll.
That's true. No, we're going to skip ahead. Who cares? Ozzy Trapillo, he's going to be left tackle. They love him. They adore him.
All right,
you heard
like
it here
that.
First, you know, even though I predicted Darnell Wright, but it's going to be Ozzy Trapillo. They adore this
Say
kid.
It like you
he's
mean
so
it.
Smart and they he like gets him? Everything. They like him a lot.
Okay.
But I want to get to this.
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I like when they try to extract some personality, you know, Hogan Johns, when they're talking to the big boss here. So they got to know him a little bit.
But was on your off-season reading list this year?
Oh, got a crisis management book someone gave to me. I think Ian gave it to me.
Oh, my. Of Ian Cunningham to give him a crisis management
Ian
book.
Cunningham gave him a crisis management book.
I think, first of all, I think it's a little late for the book.
It is a little late.
The thought that counts.
When did he give it to him? That's amazing.
All right, so it leads to a very interesting, like, human subject.
Okay.
Of if you give something to a friend like that, should the friend take that to mean, if you offer them something like, hey, I think that you would like this, should you take that to mean, I'm not good at this thing that you're offering me, or that you might just find this interesting?
Okay, real answer. You need friends to help you with stuff that you're not good at.
Yeah.
Especially the workplace. You need people. I mean, this is the goal. This is how you get better at anything as a group. Is like if you can be vulnerable and look at yourself and be like, yeah, I need some help. And your friends can be like, you know what? You need some help. How about this? Like, oh, my God, thank you. So that's my take on that. I wonder when it was. Like, is Ian watching Matt Eberflus not call timeout on Thanksgiving and being like, all right, I'm going to need to get a crisis management book.
Got a crisis management book.
Like, he's on Amazon, just kind of scrolling through stuff. Oh, I got some early Black Friday deals.
How to fire your head coach in 30 seconds.
Just watch that game on Thanksgiving.
Should I get this as a Kindle? Yeah, probably. That'd be a little faster. Maybe audiobook. He could listen on the flight, maybe.
Like, I never want to make recommendations and then have people feel insulted by them. But like for example, like
right.
I suggested both to you and Layla,
yeah,
the Conan O'Brien John Mayer interview.
Right.
For different reasons. Like, there were parts of, like, I was like, man, Speaks. Like, when I was listening to it, I was like, Speaks is going
to
love that part of it. And then I heard a part, I was like, man, Layla's going
to
love a part of that interview.
Now, if you had given me that and said, Speaks could learn a lot from Conan's interview style, and you didn't say that part to me, but you just kind of gave it. So, like, you should know, really. You should listen to this. It's like giving somebody a piece of gum when their breath is bad. Here you go. No, really. Take this piece of gum. But if you said to me, as my partner, you said, hey, man, listen to this. Listen to the way he interviews. Let's talk about it after you hear it. Like, I could hear that.
Okay.
I could hear that.
I mean, that's not why I suggested it. I think I think Conan's style is hard to duplicate.
I had a partner who used to do that.
Well, and I remember that partner having it done to him, though. Because when I was producing Jiggets and McNeil,
yeah,
that happened where they had put someone on. It was a psychologist. I think that's when they gave Mac Who Moved My Cheese or something like that. And I was like, oh, I don't like this, because they didn't tell him beforehand.
Oh.
And so it was like Jiggs and Riles had figured it out, and I was like super young and on the board, and I was like, ooh, oh, this is probably a terrible idea.
Oh.
And it was. So it was a terrible idea.
They put a targeted self-help author.
Yeah.
On for the other host to listen to.
Yeah.
Eee.
I was like, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good.
You got a crisis management book.
You know, a lot of times on the outside, it's crisis or carnival.
Oh, man, that's rough. Yeah.
I think I have that right. I remember
that. I think you
that.
Do, too. I think you do, too.
I remember that, and I remember being so uncomfortable in the moment.
That'll
I'm like,
do it.
Because I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, the bit's kind of funny. And if Mac was in on the bit, which he, in the moment, he played, he was like, okay, like, fine. But I was still like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I probably would have taken that badly.
Yeah, you probably don't want to blindside somebody. Texter says, it's like when you get your friend a gym membership. I think we know how something like that goes. Here you go. I thought you could use this. Or, yeah. Get your wife something like that.
Am I allowed to give you Heath bars again or no?
Well, see, yeah, that's a loving gesture. You don't know where I am on the continuum of whether I eat candy or not. Sure.
Well, today I do because you had that awesome candy from Spain.
That's Spanish candy.
Was it
candy.
Really good?
Yeah, let me just... Spanish caramels. And there is a rose. There is a rose in Spanish caramels.
I gotta go
it's
check.
Top end of the demo right there.
Our guy Roger brought those
back. If you got
back.
That reference... Make sure.
Check your blood pressure.
Check in. Make sure you check in.
Yeah. If your parent got that reference, just give them a call.
Give them a call. They love to hear from you. They truly, truly would.
Close your windows if you got that reference. Put a book on your head. Do whatever you need to do.
All of those things. Uh-huh. We can run all of this by Jason Leisure. He's going to join us. And he also got into some stuff with Ben Johnson. We need to talk about that, too, next here on The Score.